Revelation chapter number 5. And that king, he is worthy.
Amen.
That king, he is risen.
Amen.
And we're going to celebrate that tonight. Revelation chapter number 5. The Bible says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the 8 elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the line of Judah, or the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, Amen. And the 24 and 20 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever.
Amen.
What an awesome scene. What a fantastic thing to think about. Can you imagine as John sat there and he's looking around trying to figure out who is worthy? And he begins to weep, seeing no one by his side, seeing no one that is worthy. And then walks in the Lamb. And then walks in the Lamb of God, and this scene just erupts before our eyes as we see the thousands upon thousands upon thousands praising his name, saying, Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is he who's able to open the book. And they say in verse number 12, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, we see this scene, and it's marvelous. And we see the Lamb exalted and praised. But tonight, we'd like to show you why he is worthy.
Amen.
We'd like to talk to you a little bit tonight. We'd like to give you 3 reasons why the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is the worthy Lamb. And the first thing I want to talk to you tonight is about, number one, worthy is the Son of Man. Worthy is the Son of Man. You see, when we were lost in sin, when there was no one that would help us, when we were so desperate, no one would take our case, no one would take our side. We plead for help, but no one would hear. Jesus Christ came, and he came in the form of a baby. And, you know, it was kind of an unlikely coming. You know, he came in the manger, and he was in the stable, and, you know, no one made any big scenes about this coming king. He was just another man. But what the world didn't know was this was the King of Kings.
Amen.
This was the King of Kings. He was the sovereign King. He was the holy King. He was the one who created all things. He was the great I Am. He was there during the 10 plagues, and he was God Almighty. He was there for Joseph. He was there for Moses. He was there for Abraham. He was there for all the Old Testament saints. And here he was to claim that he was going to come true on his promise.
Amen.
Worthy is the Son of Man, but he didn't come as a king. In fact, he came as a servant. The first point is he came to serve. The Bible says in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." God Almighty came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Paul put it like this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." God Almighty, King of the universe, took our fragile skin, and he wrapped himself with it, and he became a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. God humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Can you imagine God Almighty, the Creator, giving his life, humbling himself for his creation? The Almighty became a model of humility as he became a servant to man. Worthy is the Son of Man. Not just because he came to serve, but because he came to save. Amen. Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And let me tell you, at some point, we were, right now, it could be our lost. At some point, where we were, are with need of a Savior. He came to fulfill that need. And he took it upon himself. And as we heard in Philippians chapter number 2, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came to save. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 and 6. "For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." And I think it's interesting that Paul says he gave himself. There was no higher thing that he could give, because he's the highest. So he said, I'm not sure what I could do, but I can give myself. And he gave himself for us. The king gave his life. What other king do you know that gave his life for a sinner? What other king do you know gave his life for a rebel? What other king do you know gave his life for those who would eventually reject him? What other king do you know died for you? Worthy is the Son of Man, because he came to serve and he came to save. His life was literally about the cross. He lived it so that he could go to the cross to save our sins.
Just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from. Oh,
Amen. It is about the cross. John chapter 15 and in verse number 12, John 15:12, the Bible says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." We know that Jesus Christ is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is Jesus as the Son of Man, but worthy is our Savior who was slain for us. He's worthy, first of all, because of the love that was shared. You know, the ultimate demonstration of love was when Jesus Christ went to that cross willingly for our sins. He who knew no sin took all the sins of the world upon him. Why? So that we could have eternal life through him. You know, love has to be demonstrated. You know, we could say that we love someone, but if there's no actions to back that up, it's just words. And God could say, "I love the world, I love the world." But guess what? It didn't end with just words. Love was demonstrated to us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die." But here it is. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. Jesus Christ demonstrated the ultimate demonstration of love when he went willingly to that cross to die for sinners like us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." What a great and precious promise, that because of the love that was demonstrated to us, the love that was shared to us, we might live through him. Love without actions is just word. Love was demonstrated through the free gift that Christ offered to us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus Christ demonstrated, shared that love through the gift of salvation. It is a free gift. Nobody here could do anything to earn their way to heaven. There isn't one thing that we could do. There isn't a dollar amount that we could place that could ever get us to heaven, but through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen. So love that was demonstrated, but also love that was commanded. You know, Christ set the example for us. In Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ," says Paul. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We can live our lives victoriously and in faith because of the love that Christ showed us. We can live victoriously. Paul said it. He loved him and gave himself for him. And because of that, because of the faith of the Son of God, we can live victoriously. What a sacrifice. What a Savior. But you know, the command that he'd given to us to love as Christ shared his love with us was very specific. That's very specific. Back in John chapter 15, verse 12, he says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another," and here it is, "as I have loved you." That's very specific. As Christ loved us, that sacrificial love, that's the love we need to demonstrate as we live our lives. A new commandment, John 13:34 says, "I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you." The greatest demonstration of love was when Jesus Christ went to that cross for us. But he didn't stay dead. He rose victoriously. Christ's love truly was shared to us in the form of that old rugged cross.
God saw a world lost without him. He could have simply turned and walked away, but the Father wasn't willing that anyone should perish, so he sent his Son to die that
Carry the cross.
praise the Lord for the old rugged cross. Amen. Worthy is the Savior who was slain, first for the love that was shared. You know, we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But verse 9 says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Worthy is the Savior slain because of the love that was shared, but also his precious blood that was shed. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You know, we were separated from Christ because of our sin. We were without hope. We had no chance beyond this world to see eternal life in heaven. But the blood of Jesus Christ changed all that. Ye who sometimes were afar off, you know, Christ went to that cross and died for us and shed his blood when we were the enemies of God. But because of the precious blood, we're made nigh unto him. We had no hope. Our sin separated us, but the blood of Christ, only the perfect sacrifice and the precious shed blood of Christ could atone for our sins. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. I was reading this verse again this morning, and I'm telling you what, sometimes, you know, you read, pastor says every time you read the Bible, he said it this morning, you see something new and God shows you something new. I'll tell you what, I was reading this morning, and it just, it's like preaching to myself in my office. Amen. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We can enter into the holiest not because of what we have done, not because of who we are, but because of the blood of Christ. Amen. You know, every time, I thought of this, every time those priests brought the sacrifices, they went in fear, bringing that sacrifice. Guess what? We don't have to bring a sacrifice anymore. It's been paid. And we can go in, not with fear and trembling, but with boldness. I thought about that. I was like, we can come into the presence of God with boldness because of what Christ did, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. To enter into the holiest, you had to pass through the veil. Guess what? That veil has been torn in two. And now we can come boldly before God. Amen. Through Christ. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore Jesus also, that blood saves. It's saving. That blood empowers us to come boldly before God, but it also sanctifies. Wherefore Jesus also, in Hebrews 13, 12, also that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. The blood of Christ cleanses us and sanctifies us. Perfect blood, perfect sacrifice. Not the blood of goats, bulls, rams that were offered year after year after year, but the precious blood of our Savior. Not that blood, but this blood. Amen. He is worthy because his blood was the only blood that could ever set us free.
When it flowed down.
stand in my defense.
So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. And I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he's coming back for you. His life, his price, his blood, his wine.
There is a blood, it cites the blood. Chains that fall upon the ground, so pour it out to cleanse my soul and let its liquid glory flow,
because he lives to make me
this life, this price, this blood, this wine.
In Luke chapter 24, we want to look at worthy is the sovereign king. Luke chapter 24, he is the risen lamb, and because he is the sovereign king, then certainly we know that he is alive and lives forevermore. In Luke 24, it says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He is the risen lamb. It certainly is confirmed by the witnesses that were present. Mary Magdalene would come to the tomb to anoint the body with oils, and yet his body was not there. He was risen out of the grave. And that witness would carry through centuries, even to the day in which we live, of a testimony that Jesus Christ is alive. He is a worthy sovereign king, because he is not a king who has died, but rather he is a king that lives forevermore. So it's confirmed by eyewitnesses. It's explained by the angelic beings, as we read in Luke 24. These angels that were standing by the tomb and were there to be a witness and a testify of the fact that Jesus is alive. I was thinking that in the Old Testament, In the book of Isaiah, you read of angels that are surrounding the throne of God and singing, "Holy, holy, holy." It's the angels of heaven that praise the eternal sovereign King. When you come into the New Testament, we find the angel announcing to Mary that she would be with a child and that she would bring forth the only begotten Son of God into this world. We read of the angels ministering to Jesus Christ when he would fast and be in the wilderness, being tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And it's amazing that here in this passage, once again, the angels are gathered around where Jesus Christ is, and they explain what is going on and that Jesus Christ is alive. He is the risen Lamb by confirmation of witnesses, by the explanation of angelic beings, but also by the prophesied word that Jesus gave in verse 7. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. The glorious, wonderful truth is this, that Jesus Christ proclaimed his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And the things that he proclaimed to take place in the future took place exactly the way he had told them it would be so. He is worthy of being a sovereign king because of the fact that he prophesied of his own death, burial, and resurrection. But also this matter of being crucified, buried, and risen again provides for us eternal hope. You and I know that we are saved and we are going to heaven because of the eternal hope of God placed in us because of Jesus rising out of the grave. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17, it says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. I want you to know tonight that he is a worthy sovereign king because of the fact that he rose out of the grave, that you and I have eternal hope. If only Jesus had died and was buried, we would be without hope. There would be no life. There would be no redemption because sin would have defeated him. The devil would have bound him. Death would overcome him. But hallelujah, he's alive tonight and provides eternal hope. Well, not only that, in Colossians chapter 2, he defeated the enemy. Every enemy that comes against you is a defeated foe tonight. You do not have to suffer defeat. You do not have to be discouraged and despondent. You do not have to be cast down. Because Jesus Christ arose and he defeated the enemy. Colossians chapter 2 in verse 12, it says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcised of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out all the handwriting and ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Hallelujah tonight, that every enemy that comes against us is defeated. He is worthy to be praised because he is the sovereign king who fights the enemy, defeats the enemy. Greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. Tonight, he is a worthy sovereign king. If Christ had not risen from the dead, we would never have any way to gain hope, never have any way to gain help, or even gain the access into the presence of God in heaven. Worthy is this sovereign king.
I'm forever grateful for the
Amen. He's not only the risen Lamb, but he is the righteous Savior. I'm thankful tonight that we don't have a God that is unholy, but we have a God who is holy. And we worship him. He's worthy as a sovereign king because he is the righteous Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 10 says, "For therefore we do both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe." I'm thankful tonight that we have a living God, a holy Savior, a righteous Savior that lives and abides in heaven, interceding on our behalf. Revelation 1 and 17 says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet." I always get tickled. Different people talk about seeing God, and they talk about how they're standing up and how they're boasting about the opportunity to see God, and they saw this light, and they have all these vague explanations. Wait a minute. When John saw the Lord, he fell on his face before him. And he said, "I fell at his feet as dead, and he has laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." And so we have a living God. He is actively involved in everything that we are and everything that we experience and everything that we enjoy. He is the one who has delivered us by his spirit, by his power, by his grace, and in his holiness. He has set us free. He is a living God. But he is a righteous Savior, not just because he's a living God, but that he is a deliverer of all men. I am thankful tonight that it does not matter who you are, you can be saved tonight. Amen. It says in our verse where I read, "Who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." And you can believe on Christ tonight and know that you're going to heaven. You can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb because you have faith in him. God is not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. I'm thankful back in 1979, God looked down from the courtrooms on heaven, from heaven on an old truck driver, old farmer, alcoholic, and looked down and say, "That's somebody that I died for, and he can be saved if he'll believe. And when I believed on him, he saved me." And I want you to know he can save you tonight. He is the deliverer of all men. But he is the manifestation of the love of God. There is no greater demonstration or manifestation of God's love than looking into the eyes of Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins." In verse 14 it says, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." God manifested his love in one person, and that is Jesus Christ. He came into this world to show you that God loves you tonight. Don't you ever think for one moment you're not worth anything. I was talking to a young boy the other day, and he was saying, "I just don't feel like I'm worth anything." And I told him, I said, "Boy, don't you ever say that. You need to understand that you're valuable because God created you in his image. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You always have value and worth because God manifested his love by sending his son into this world. The price has been paid. The blood has been shed. The grave has been defeated. And hallelujah, Jesus still saves. Worthy is the sovereign king.
Breaking, night is waking.
He's worthy. What more do you need us to say? What more do you need us to sing? He's worthy. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He saves to the end of the earth. He's worthy. Tonight, I wonder if he's worthy of your faith. Tonight, I wonder if you've ever placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. I wonder if you've come to a place in your life where you've said, Jesus, you're worthy. You are worthy because you love me and you gave your life for me. And without you, I could go nowhere. Amen. He is worthy of faith, but Christian, he's worthy of your life. Amen. What is it tonight that you haven't given to him fully? He's worthy of it. Mm-hmm. What is it tonight that you've held back from him because you want it a little bit more? Let me tell you, he's worthy of it. Yes, tonight, I wonder if you've come to the place where you've given him your all, your everything. If you've surrendered completely to him because he is worthy. As the choir sings that last song before we close out tonight with our invitation, they're going to sing the song that really captivated the thought of using Revelation chapter number 5, verse 12. It really brought my mind to that verse and that scripture passage this coming weekend. This weekend, we celebrate the fact that he gave his life for us on the cross, but we celebrate that he's risen and worthy.
Amen.
But let's flash forward a little bit. A little bit to where we are risen with him. We are completed. And we are surrounding the throne. And we are singing, worthy is the Lamb.
Amen.
this time, I'd like to have every head bowed, every eyes closed. Tonight, you might have come here just knowing that, you know what? You haven't given the Lord your all lately. But He paid it all. But you haven't given all to Him. If He paid it all, isn't He worthy to have your all? If He paid your all, isn't He worthy of having your everything? Christian, tonight, how many of you would say with me, Pastor Nick, you know what, to be honest with you, lately Christ has just not had my all. I've given Him some, but He hasn't had my all. And you know what, Pastor Nick, He's worthy. And I'd like to start tonight by giving Him everything of me. If that's true of you, would you just slip up your hand? I'd love to pray for you tonight. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you. How many would say, Pastor Nick, to be honest with you, I've come to church on Easter Sunday, maybe some Christmases, but I've never placed my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never accepted Him as my Savior, and I just don't know for sure if heaven will be my home someday. Pastor Nick, I need prayer for that. I need prayer. I'm not saved. Is there anyone in here like that that would raise their hand and say, you know what, Pastor Nick, I'm just not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I'm on my way to heaven. You know, just raise your hand. We don't want to embarrass you. I'd like to pray for you. Anyone like that at all? As we go into our invitation time and you'd like to come and pray as we sing Jesus Paid It All after I pray, you can come and pray and ask God, you know what, Lord, You are worthy of my all. You paid it all, so You're worthy of my everything. God, thank You for giving Your life for us. Thank You for giving everything, Lord, for our wretched selves, Lord. We didn't deserve You, but You came anyway, and You are so worthy of our praise. Lord, I pray that as we go into our invitation time, that we would give everything to You, Lord, that our all would be on the altar, that it'd be all Yours. In Jesus' name, amen.